And I'm very grateful. I understand that every clean day is a successful day for me, no matter what happens. And I understand that there's no guarantee, like I'm not cured. And so I really love Narcotics Anonymous. I believe I'd be dead by now if it were not for you helping me. Everything I ever tried to stop using on my own did not work, but this is working, and I'm really loving it. My home group is the One Step at a Time group of Narcotics Anonymous. It's a DC area meeting. We meet every Friday at 7 o'clock at 14th and Decatur Street Northwest in Washington, D.C. It's an open meeting. We use the basic text. We do a step in tradition in the same meeting. We save the last 15 minutes of the meeting for a newcomer to share off topic. All are welcome. Hope to see you there. And so in sharing about the history of Narcotics Anonymous, I'm supposed to talk about our region. This convention is hosted by our region, Chesapeake and Potomac region. Now, I went to the region for the first time through the DC Area H&I Committee because it was their policy at the area. Someone just gave me a mic sign. I'm excited. It was their policy at DC Area that all of the chair and the vice chair and the secretary had to go to the region. So I was just doing H&I service, and I was just doing what they told me. And so I showed up at this event. Thank you, Kat. I showed up at this event, and I was enthralled. Thank you, Moji. I was enthralled. It was, and they gave us lunch, you know? It wasn't just the meeting, and it wasn't just addicts from all over D.C., Maryland, and Virginia coming together to work for a common purpose, but it was fun and fellowship because I liked agendas. I liked the emotion that people had. People would give up and give speeches about that we had to pass something or something was important because addicts would die if we didn't do it. And addicts would die for everything they wanted. Addicts would die. We had to vote to make it a non-smoking meeting because addicts would die. And I didn't care. I loved it. And so I'll tell you what I know about our region and our region's formation. And I'll tell you what I believe from things that I've heard. I went to New York early in my recovery, my first 2 years clean, for something called a multi-regional learning weekend. And I rode by myself to go there. I stayed in the hotel in Hell's Kitchen. I was very excited to be, I was just excited to be clean. I came from the street. I came from the overnight emergency trailer, you know, walking up and down the street, jumping in and out of cars, doing what it, ways and means to get more, all that. I was just happy not to be using. So any NA stuff that I went to, I was all about it. And I didn't know anybody, but it didn't matter because it was us. People made me feel welcome. And so they had a speaker at the Saturday night, and this woman had come from CMP region, but I didn't know her before because she had moved away. But she talked about the controlling and powerful region. She talked about that members of the Chesapeake Potomac region, CMP region, the controlling and powerful region, would show up anywhere. We would show up at the Wichita Literature Conference. We would get in a car and drive and show up and vote and participate in anything all the time. And we were very outspoken. We were known to be participants and to be caring about NA as a whole, and would go at the drop of a hat to any. I mean, that's a long way to drive to Kansas with no gas. Right? So I like that. I like being thought of as the controlling and powerful region. Our first regional meeting wasn't until September 19th, 1982. Now, before that, the groups that formed the first area was a few years before that. And there weren't a lot of NA groups around here to make an area. But they made an area committee so that they could carry on services like H&I, public information, without taking away from the meeting. And so the D.C. area, when it formed, was meetings from Washington, D.C., Richmond, Tidewater, Baltimore, Winchester. You know, it was a lot. It was a long way to drive. It was a great distances to drive and a very few meetings. Before we formed our own region, those areas joined the Mid-Atlantic region. That started in Pennsylvania, right? And Mid-Atlantic region started in the early 70s. So by the time we came in the early 80s, they were big. The Mid-Atlantic region, when we joined, was Connecticut, New York, Eastern Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Tidewater. We brought in Richmond, D.C., Baltimore. So it was a lot. And it was a long way for us to go for a regional. We hosted one of the regionals, and they were impressed that we had such a strong fellowship and that we were an urban African-American. NA was majority male and majority white at that time, from what I've known and seen, and it's just the way it was. Still now in my recovery today, there's not a lot of women. There's more men than there are women, but there's more ethnic diversity, and I'm grateful for that. Okay, so we formed our own region. And then it was still, we're the mother of a lot of regions, because the Baltimore people joined, made their own fellowship. They formed the Free State Region. The Virginia people left in Tidewater. They formed Region of the Virginias, which they've changed their name now, but I don't like it. So I call them the Region of the Virginias. When I got clean, our region had 13 areas, and I won't name them, but I will say that the two that left to go to Free State, one of them is the area we're in now, Ocean Gateway, and another was Delaware, Delmarva, and it's okay that they left because things happened, and it was a long way for them to come, but I love that we still have our convention here, even though it's not in our region anymore, and I love that Ocean Gateway is having their car workshop today. If you all want to go down the street. The motion that made this convention, and I swear to God I'm going to give the regional motions back. I still have the minutes. And I swear to God I'm going to bring them. But right now, I'll just read the ones I found that was the motion that made this event that we're at today, 26 years ago. D.C. area and Virginia made a motion that the CNP region sponsor an annual regional meeting that would serve two purposes, to take care of regional business and to hold a traditions workshop over a weekend. I mean, that's what this turned into. This was supposed to be just a traditions workshop. Look at us now. We're the largest Narcotics Anonymous convention besides the World Convention. We're the biggest on the East Coast. It's really a big deal. Fanning the flames of desire, that's what we're doing. We've always been a generous region. In our regional budget, we include money. Thank you so much. See how loving people are? Thank you so much. Now, in our budget, we have money that we give to the Latin American Zonal Forum. And we give money also to the European delegation. Because, I mean, they use it to buy books. They use it to carry the message. So we're helping them carry the message. We send money to the world. I'm not arguing with the fund flow or getting into any debate. I'm just saying that our region has it in our budget that if we can afford it, we can send $1,500 or $500 or $1,000 to Guatemala so that they can buy books so that people there can get our message in their own language. And then when we give the money to these other groups, usually the delegate that takes the message to the World Conference takes the check or has some communication, and they come and they meet each other face to face. Those addicts are so grateful to us. They write us letters and thank us for even thinking of them. And I'm so proud that we come from a region that thinks of others like that, not just We've always been a region that gives away newcomer packages at our convention. Some regions can't afford to do it anymore. Things are expensive. And even with a $30 registration, they can't cover the cost of the hotel sometimes. But we've been successful enough. Last year we gave away more than 1,000 newcomer packages with all the registrations that we sold and with people making donations. And the newcomer package included a hotel for some people because they needed a place to stay. They just got here. They didn't have any means, but they knew that if they got here, we would take care of them, and we do. From the very beginning, I remember the hospitality suite would have apples and oranges and peanut butter and jelly, you know, and even if you, it's not a fish dinner, it's not shrimp, but it's good if you're hungry. And it was free, and it was welcoming. Okay, so we can leave time for other members of this audience to come up to the podium and share what they know about the history of Narcotics Anonymous, because I don't want to talk anymore. I've given my message. I'm very grateful to have been invited here. I was humbled, and I want to thank the program committee for asking me, and thank you for letting me share.
My name is Andrew, and I'm an addict for life. I learned a couple things. I don't know about you. I learned about region, and I learned a new definition of 13-stepping. So, positive one at that. Before we open up the mic to those who would like to share, please remember to come up to the podium one at a time, and remember that there's probably a lot of people in here that would love to share, so share the time as accordance as you can. But I just want to say for myself, I was granted the opportunity to be the secretary chairperson for this position, and I couldn't be happier. I was an indigent scholarship winner back for Miracle in the Mirror, and I did have a hotel room, and this year I was part of the H&I committee that was available to hand out those packages to my region or my area, and it's been an amazing journey for me, and I couldn't have been more happy, more proud to be back here. I have my wonderful girlfriend with me that is not an addict, that is here enjoying it with us, and is just as amazed by this experience as any one of us can be. And the history of NA for me has been living through you in the we of this program and seeing, you know, and way down in what I like to call the Witness Protection Program of St. Mary's County, Maryland, you know, because I was born and raised in Oxon Hill right next to the Beltway, and now I'm way out near the Amish and their buggies. And just to see the growth down there, we added two new meetings down there. One is a 10:30 candlelight meeting. I am now involved with Region. I redid the website along with some help from other people for the Tri-County of Southern Maryland area. I know Vikram for your area that helped me out a lot. I know a lot of people in the Battlefield area now, and I didn't even know there was that many areas in the region. But the history of this place is just amazing. I mean, I grew up in the summer times on the streets of Ocean City, and I haven't had my eyes take a glance towards one of them places I used to hang out, because it's nice being here. And looking at all y'all in the faces, and my grammar might not be perfect, but you know what I'm getting at. And it's all about the fellowship and the program. And just like Lynn explained to us, from the motion of being a traditions meeting into 4,000 to 5,000 people, that's growth. That's what we all look for in this place. So thank you for letting me occupy the mic. But we do have, I think, at least a half an hour that this microphone is available to be used to share your message, share your vision of the history of NA, or anything that's really you feel is necessary. So please share the time when you get up here, please. Whoever would like to come on up.
My name is Raymond. I'm an addict.
Hi, Raymond.
And the history of NA. I was telling somebody yesterday, it feels kind of strange that I've been to every one of these conventions since 1981. I'm going on 32 years. You know, and when I got here, just like Chris talked about when he got here in 83, they didn't have any literature. And I was the youngest one when I got around here, and they still called me the youngest one, like I'm not aging. But I am. You know what I mean? But I'm grateful for Narcotics Anonymous that it's still growing. And the information that he just spoke on is very important because I have a simple group where we go 1, 2, 3 in tradition. That folks said, I haven't seen you around and all this because the group I'm at, it might be 10 of us. It might be 15. It might be 8 of us. But the thing about it is, it's a lot of love there. You know what I mean? Because I know how Narcotics Anonymous works. The newcomer is still the most important person in any room. Any addict is sick of recovering, need ever die. And I stand on that. You know, and it's a blessing when I can come to this convention and I ain't seen people in 15 years. And they say, Little Raymond. You know what I mean? And Little Raymond still. You know what I mean? And I can embrace them. And the gentleman told me today, he said, I just need to say this because if something ever happened to you and I never had the opportunity, he want to say thank you. He said, because when I was struggling years ago, he said, you didn't never ask me how much narcotics did I use. You just said, man, I love you. And you gave me a hug. And he said, I got about 15 years now. Another gentleman I ran into, he was struggling years ago. He said, and I asked you to be my sponsor, and I kept using back and forth. And you never say, don't come back. You always say, when you're tired, I'll be here. And he said, look, 21 years later, I got 21 years, Raymond. I just want to say I love you. Man, that's a hell of a feeling. And when I say it's a sad day, sometimes when they say you're going to go up on that stage, that folks been asking me, I don't know. Because when I'm up there, I feel all alone because, like I said, I was the youngest thing. And I look up and down that stage, and I don't see the folks when I came in because they was older than me and they're not here. You know, a gentleman was showing me some history of some people who saved my life in his phone, that these are the people who passed. They was my friends, and it's sad. And I can go on down this list from every one of these, those, I was sitting there last night just looking. I've been to every one of these conventions. And I met a lot of friends, and I've met friends I haven't met yet from all over the world. And it was just sad that some of those friends are with me in spirit, but they're not going to be standing there. But when somebody said that he was doing this, I said, I had to come see my friend. Because he's been my friend from the day that I met him. You know what I mean? He's still here, and he's still talking about what works. And I always say this in closing, I trip a dare anybody to try to knock on some numbers. Just give it a chance. If you're using, keep coming back. If you ain't sure, keep coming back. Just keep coming back. And I guarantee you, I'll be here. If you need a hug, I'll be here. I ain't going nowhere. So every time I come every year, I see Chris. You know what I mean? I'm going to see Chris. Now he's my friend. We're getting a little older. Okay, we are getting older, but he's my friend. I just want to say I love Chris, you know, and everybody that's sitting up here, Dwayne. It's a lot of folks. So any newcomer in this room, you're in the right place. You know what I mean? Get in service. It's very important. I've been there, like I said, I'm going on 32 years this August. And I'm still in service. I knew what worked. This thing is fantastic. I just want to say I love you again, man.
I'm an addict. I'm Stuart. And I wasn't going to stand up. But, and I swore I wasn't going to cause any shit. You know, Chris touched lightly in 1985. There was what was called a purist movement that started. And when the purist movement started, it wasn't a really tactful movement. It wasn't a really planned movement. But what nobody can deny, you know, in the early 1980s, if you came to Narcotics Anonymous, the old guys in Alcoholics Anonymous would tell you, if you want to get laid, go to Narcotics Anonymous. If you want recovery, you need to come to Alcoholics Anonymous. For me, that was enough reason to come here. However, the importance of it is that we were establishing a viable identity of our own. We were becoming a program that stood on its own, that allowed us to recover from addiction without the use of any drugs. Very, very important. We were a viable means of recovery. And I'm here to tell you that in our history, we're at another point where some folks in Narcotics Anonymous still don't believe that we are enough of a viable program for recovery from addiction, and they want to appease the medical communities with methadone and Suboxone and things of that nature. And in Narcotics Anonymous, if you're using a drug replacement therapy, you're welcome. You're in the right place. This is where you belong. But by no means are you clean. Make no mistake about it. Our literature tells us what clean is. If you haven't read The Car and the Cat and you have not voted on this stuff, this is important stuff. Our fellowship has the possibility of changing forever right now. And we have the ability to shape that just by finding out things of our history and the way it is right now. Very important times once again. You know, I love the fact that when Lynn was talking about how passionate members were in Narcotics Anonymous, you know, like everything was life or death, you know, and it's because it is. It is life and death, you know. It's one or the other. Narcotics Anonymous saved my ass, period. I didn't want to be here. I didn't plan on coming here. And 29 and a half years later, I still do the same things I did when I first got clean. I still go to meetings all the time. I'm still involved in service. And I still share what the truth is for me. And the truth is for me that, you know, this is our fellowship. And unfortunately, we've trusted the trusted servants long enough, and we have given away a lot of our own rights, and we need to wake up and participate in our own recovery. We need to not just say, we trust you, go vote for us. You need to have a voice. And I love Narcotics Anonymous. I will always have a voice here as long as I can. If you don't know how important it is, or if you don't know what's about to come down, please feel free to ask me. If you want to know, I'll gladly tell you what I know. Ask my wife. She's got a better memory and brain than I do. She can tell you a lot more than I can. Or just ask anybody here, and they'll direct you in the right place. You'll find the answers. The answers are that this is our fellowship. I love the history of our fellowship. I love the fact that we have done things to establish what is a viable place for recovery from addiction. And I just want to thank these guys for sharing, and thanks.
I'm an addict. My name is Delphine. And I know it's only by God's grace that I'm here and clean. And I was not going to share until he mentioned Lynn's passion. And I, too, have had a passion, so I want to share my experience on the history from my history of being here for a minute, a little minute, and serving with these folks and some other folks in here. I need to say that I only intended to stay in recovery for 1 year. First of all, I didn't hear them say complete abstinence in the readings when I started going to meetings. I didn't even hear that. But eventually that information caught up with me, and okay, fine. I'll do that for a year. I can do it for a year. I can do anything for a year. And so I set out to just get a year, got the rules down, go to meetings, get a sponsor, pray, help somebody. I got the rules. I can do this, and I was willing to do it. And I guess about 8 or 9 months, I was in my home group, and they talked about area service the next day, and anybody wanting to volunteer could go and help and participate. And I went because I was just killing time for the year, okay? So I said, I'll go see what that's about. And I went and saw the passion and the fussing and the feuding and the motions and the all of that craziness. And a service junkie was born that day. I fell in love with it, went for it. You know, I wanted to be a part of it. I forgot the year was up. You know, the year came and went, and I forgot I was leaving. I was part of the D.C. area, and I went to a meeting one day and found out about the representatives. And when I went back to this meeting that I attended regularly, and I asked who was our GSR, they said we don't have one. They ended up sending me to the area. And after a month or two, they decided they were going to start another area. That was the Rock Creek area breaking off from the D.C. area. And so my group said, and I don't mean my group like I was had taken it hostage yet, but my group, as I was representing it, said, go over there, see what those folks are talking about, and come back and report to us. And I did that, and they decided they wanted to go with a new area. And I said, that's not what I signed on for. I signed on to be with those folks that was fussing and fuming and fighting and motions and all of that. But I kind of ended up thinking, well, what's best for the group might be what's best for me, and doing it and getting involved with working with Chris, you know, and other folks like that, and just helping out as best I could. And by the time I got 5 years clean, an opening came for regional service rep representative. And I thought, okay, if I do that, I'll have 9 years clean if I fulfill the commitment. So I said, okay, I started out not knowing what I was getting into with that, but just wanting to stay here, just wanting something different, and ended up going back and forth with the world, making motions and all of that. And then I forgot I was leaving after 9 years. I forgot I was going to leave. But what made me think about the service I had done and the passion was that we had part of the region was Delmarva, so I'd have to drive to Delaware one Saturday for the regional